Our New Testament reading comes to us from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. If you'd like to follow along in our pew Bibles, it's page 885. Let us listen to the Word of God. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, and in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. 1 hour a week we come here to church, and what do I say at the beginning of worship every week? That worship is the most important thing we will do all week. Do we really believe it? I mean, do we believe that it's the most important thing we do? It sounds like what I'm supposed to say. We're here worshiping God, the creator of the whole universe. We're here worshiping Jesus Christ, the one who died for us and rose again on the third day, and we also, today especially, we worship the Holy Spirit. So if worship's the most important hour of our whole week, why doesn't it always feel that way? Certainly, we want to feel God. We want to experience God here in this place. If we could do that every week, then that would be the most important hour, wouldn't it? However, if you're anything like me, that feeling, that experience of God rarely happens. When was the last time we came into church and really felt or experienced God here in this space? In our scripture reading, we hear about the church, the early church, really experiencing and feeling God. It was soon after Jesus ascends to heaven, which is what Siobhan preached about last week. Jesus is gone, never to return in bodily form until the second coming. The disciples have graduated. Yet, Jesus promises that God will send them something else to help them. So the first disciples are now on their own, waiting for the first time on a promise. Jerusalem had a way of gathering folks together. This day, Pentecost for Jews, was originally known as the Day of Harvest. All these folks gathered from many different lands to Jerusalem, far from home. Originally, they had all come to the Holy Land, some of them for the Jewish Passover, and they ended up staying and being transformed, especially when they heard about Christ's death and resurrection. So they stayed for 50 days until the day of the harvest. And they all gathered, each coming from different regions, many speaking different languages, and they all waited in this upper room together, the very room where they shared the Last Supper with Jesus. And they were waiting that morning on this promise. And then it happened. A violent rush of wind comes filling the room. Everyone can physically feel God's presence now in this place. And the Holy Spirit comes upon them like tongues of fire, allowing them to speak all in different languages. But somehow, miraculously, they can understand one another. They could all feel and hear and see and experience God in their very midst. They felt the very presence of God through the Holy Spirit. It's something hard to explain. Some scoffed and blamed it on drinking because they couldn't believe it. But what if we went to worship every week and felt the very presence of God, just like these disciples did? That's what we desire, isn't it? An experience, that powerful feeling of God. If we only had that, then we'd be able to get through anything that happened this week. Somehow, in this 60 minutes, in this hour, we listen to a sermon, we hear prayers, we sing hymns, and we don't always experience God, or certainly not the full power of God. According to Professor Roger Nishioka, it's nearly impossible because experiential or episodic knowledge becomes more powerful when more of our senses, we can get all our senses being used, then we'll experience something. We'll have this episodic knowledge. Right now, we live in a time where this individual experience is prized, and this episodic and experiential knowledge is a commodity for some. In fact, Disney is tapping into creating an episodic memory for us. They want you to have this experience at Disney World. They have a ride called Soaring Over the World, and it uses almost all the senses. It goes beyond a movie with sight and sound, and as you're hanging in the air, these heaters start blasting when you fly over the desert. And when you go over the ocean and a wave crashes, mist sprays on you. And a fragrance of citrus fills the air when you fly over an orange field. They even tried taste at one point, but they couldn't get it perfected. Disney knows that the more we use all of our senses, the stronger episodic knowledge will create, thus the stronger experience or feeling we will be left with and we'll have to go back. Disney's not the only one doing it these days. Many want you to have an experience. All of the big sports teams, restaurants, and many, many others. So God and the church are left with a lot of competition. Now, at church, Christmas Eve is probably, for many of us, one of the strongest episodic memories for many of us here with the smell. We use a lot of our senses with the smells of candle wax and evergreen, the sounds of music and bells, the sights, all the decorations all around, the warmth, even feeling the warmth of that candle flame against your cheek. We get all of our senses going, creating stronger episodic knowledge, and so that becomes an experience in worship. Occasionally, we share communion, so we experience taste in worship. holidays, Easter Sunday and Pentecost, we may experience God like no other. The more emotional, the greater the claim to episodic knowledge. However, the rest of the Sundays, when we only use one or two senses, are we surprised that we don't experience God here in 1 hour? Roger Nishioka shares about a time when he was 17 years old. His dad was a Japanese pastor in California, and there was this volleyball tournament that they were excited about. The Presbyterians created this dream team so they could beat what he calls, he said that these Buddhist monks were, they were serious volleyball players. And so they needed to get all the Presbyterians together and create this team, this dream team, so they even had a chance. It was pretty intense, even though they were monks. So they're at this final game, and they're tied. And a young Presbyterian doctor goes up to spike the ball for the win, and mid-air, Dr. Assis suddenly has a heart attack and hits the floor dead. He's a pillar in the community, and he died at the age of 40. He left 3 kids and a wife. And a few days later, everyone comes to the funeral. There were so many people there. The place was completely packed. There was standing room only. They even had to add a television and an extra room because there were so many people there. And Roger Nishioka remembers it was the first time he'd ever seen his Japanese father cry in the pulpit. And at 17, he was a bit of a smart aleck. He was thinking to himself, Dad, get it together. Do your job. Near the end of the service, it's customary for Japanese to come forward, and they all come together in a line, and they bow toward the casket as a sign of respect. And he remembered this was going to take a while. And the widow and her children come forward, but the woman, she pauses to speak. "I want to thank everyone for coming to support my family," she says. "The service is so nice and so beautiful. Thank you for putting it all together. Everything's been so well planned. But if you don't mind, I want to ask you something. There's this new song. I don't know if some of you might know it. You might have heard it. It's called Our God Reigns. And I know it's not written down in the bulletins, but I was thinking about it, and I wondered if you could sing it with me. If you know it, could you sing this song?" And they start singing the song, "Our God Reigns." Roger Nishioka, 17, in the back sanctuary, he's so moved by this. He starts thinking to himself, I know Jesus, but I don't know him the way she does. I want to spend my entire life trying to get what she has. That's episodic knowledge. Now, it's powerful and moving, emotional and full of feeling. But you can't leave it there. If we do, then it's like the disciples who are in that room. They might feel and experience the Holy Spirit that day, but if they just leave it there and do nothing with it, we've got to move beyond that. What we have to do is move from this experience, this feeling, and we need to move further. We must move to something known as semantic knowledge. Semantic knowledge, according to Nishioka, is transcendent and relational and incarnational. Certainly, we live in a time that prizes the individual, yet people are yearning for transcendent experiences. These are the things that Disney and restaurants and sports can't provide, something beyond us, holy and greater than us. Whether we realize it or not, we are also yearning for relationship because we can't solely rely on the individual as much as our world tells us we can. We also must have a community of truth that acts as affirmative and corrective, and we finally yearn as God's creation to be incarnational. where God works through us and puts God's laws into our bodies and writes this new covenant onto our hearts. It's what happens on this day of Pentecost. On this day of Pentecost, God not only gives us an experience, this feeling that engages all of our senses, but we're also given something that goes beyond through the Holy Spirit. And like the church nearly 2,000 years ago, we can't just leave it at that feeling. We must let the Holy Spirit work through us and all that we do to move it beyond to the transcendent, to the relational and incarnational, to that semantic knowledge. Now, if you know anything about Professor Roger Nishioka, after turning 17, after going beyond, he moved beyond the experience from that young widow, and he spent his entire life trying to capture what that young widow had. For 30 years, he taught generations of pastors at Columbia Seminary. Somehow that song, "Our God Reigns," kept going on and on in his head, moving him to go beyond. That's our challenge. To go beyond an experience or a feeling. It takes a lot more than an hour in worship every week or just one experience. It takes the Holy Spirit working through our whole being, transforming every aspect. It moves beyond that feeling to the transcendent and relational and incarnational, to that semantic knowledge. And when we witness God's grace today in a baptism, when we taste that forgiveness and grace, and that love in the bread and the cup, when we hear the words and sing the songs, when we see the fire all around us, we can't leave it here. We must move beyond, where God can not only transform you and me, but far beyond our church family, where we can go out into the world and move beyond. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.